Well, greetings, everyone. And yes, it is my birthday. Which means I can speak about anything I want to speak about, right? Speak my mind, what I want to say. Well, I have a subject that I've been working on. It came very quickly for me. I didn't realize I was going to speak this quickly, but it's a subject that I find very encouraging for me, and hopefully it will be very encouraging for you as well. It's vitally important, I think, that we fully understand what God has for us, the purpose and plans for mankind, especially the kingdom of God and salvation and eternal life, that each and every one of us have the wonderful blessing of knowing and understanding God's plan for mankind and the joy that we will experience. It's interesting, the song we sang is going to talk about some of the things that I'm going to talk about. So you may hear some of the words that we sang kind of filled in with the sermon today. Not that I planned it that way. I appreciate Travis picking the songs, and it just fits naturally with my subject, which I think worked out very, very well. Wouldn't you like to experience wonderful, deep, enduring joy in your life? Wouldn't you like to be joyful? Have a full assurance that you can have joy in your life, that it can fill you to the full and overflowing? Well, brethren, you can. And I want to encourage each and every one of us to be filled with joy. That's the subject I'm going to talk about today. Because the world is woefully shortage of joy. There's plenty of surplus of fear, of worry, of discouragement. There's plenty of surplus of depression. And we look all around, and I know people individually and personally that are filled with these examples of surplus of fear. I know individuals that fear. I know individuals personally that are discouraged. Their life has been discouraged. And people that are in deep depression. Linda and I work with individuals personally that are dealing with deep depression. And brethren, the joy is not there. It's not there in their lives. But it can be. It can be, and it can be for each and every one of us. We don't have to have fear. We don't have to have depression, discouragement, and worry about those things. Rather, we can be filled with joy, wonderful joy, joy that fills our lives to an overflowing, as I talked about. I want to explain a little bit of difference between what joy is and what happiness is. A lot of people think joy and happiness is the same word, but it's actually very similar. They are very similar, but there is separation of meaning between joy and happiness. Happiness is an emotion, and God never intended people to have the emotional state all the time. Now, that may be shocking to you. You say, well, happiness is an emotion, and God never intended us to have happiness all the time. It's true. That's a true statement. Now, it's a hard statement because you wonder, well, if we're supposed to be joyous and be filled with joy, then why can't we be joy and happy all the time? Well, the emotion of happiness is a separation there. Let's look at Ecclesiastes. And here it explains why we can't have joy all the time. We would love to have joy all the time, and most of the time we should. And I want to encourage everyone to have joy most of the time. But over in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and it says, verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. And so God knows there's a purpose and there's a time for each and every one of us. There's, number one, a time to be born. And I've experienced that, and you've experienced that, and we've all experienced the time to be born. And there's a time to die. Now, that's not a happy time, and that's not a joyous time, necessarily. But I want to talk a little bit about that a little bit later. But there is a time to die. In verse 3, there's a time to kill, and there's a time to heal. And there are times for healing. When people are depressed, and when people are fear, and people are dealing with all kinds of negative attitudes and reactions, they need a time for healing. Verse 4, there's a time to weep. And even Jesus Christ, our Savior and our elder brother, wept. So there is a time to weep. But it also says there's a time to laugh. And laugh is a time of joy. And there's a time to mourn. And there's a time to dance. And dance can be a joy. It's a wonderful time. And so the Bible clearly tells us, yes, we should be joyous people. We should have joy in our lives. But sometimes in our lives we will have sadness. And hopefully that sadness is a short time. Not a long period of time, but the majority of our time should be filled with joy and happiness. I mentioned about the difference between happiness and the emotion of joy as well. True joy, which is what we want to fully experience, comes from fulfilling the spiritual void with good relationships. Now that relationship begins with Jesus Christ and God the Father. That's where true joy starts and is filled within us. Our primary intimate relationship should be with Jesus Christ and God the Father. And I feel that the majority of us have that relationship. But if any of us are struggling with a relationship of sadness or fear or discouragement or depression, you can go to Jesus Christ and God the Father and be encouraged and have joy. That's some of the greatest relationships that each and every one of us can experience. Brethren, before God called us, we were out in the world on our own. We were dealing with our own situations. We were dealing with individuals that sometimes took us away from God's way of life. And God called us and brought us into the truth. And He gave us the joy of knowing His truth and having an intimate relationship with Him. That's a wonderful blessing, brethren. Not everybody has that. I hope you don't take it for granted. I hope you truly appreciate it and find it joyous to be able to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. We'll read about that over in John 15. If you turn to John 15, we'll look at verse 5. And I think this is very, very important because this is Jesus Christ saying to us, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. I want to talk a little bit about fruit here. For without me, you can do nothing. And that's true. Without Jesus Christ dwelling within us, we can do nothing. And without the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we will not be producing fruit. Fruit is an interesting idea here because the Bible talks a lot about fruit. It talks about in Galatians 5 and verse 22, you don't have to turn there. I think everybody has that memorized. Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit. Did you notice the second fruit of the Spirit? First one's love. And we all experience love in many different ways. And we all express love in many different ways. But the second fruit is joy. And it's interesting. Some people look at joy as it's not important. But it's important enough to be classified as one of the fruits of the Spirit, so it has to be very, very important to God that we all experience joy. And when it says it's the second fruit, it's listed right there among the top two. Love, I think, naturally comes and flows into joy. And so the fruits all kind of blend together. It's pretty neat how God's Spirit works in harmony and in unity. And enjoy being part of the fruits of the Spirit and working together. And each and every one of us can experience these fruits. And as we develop these fruits, we will have much fruits as we work with the fruits that God gives us. And one of the fruits is joy. And He expects us to work and develop and extend that fruit to others. I talked about the difference between joy and happiness. I want to break down happiness for a minute here. So you understand what happiness relates to. The Bible speaks more about joy than happiness. So there is a separation between joy and happiness. Although they're very similar, and they compare in many ways very much alike. But there is a separation between joy and happiness. I'm going to give you a little bit of the separation. The word hap, or H-A-P, means chance. Now chance, okay? It's the root of the word happen, H-A-P-P-E-N, happen, or happening, or haphazard, which I find interesting, haphazard, which depends on chance again in the process, hapless, is a word that comes from happy. Happenstance, which is a circumstance, a chance of circumstance, and the word happy. Now these all have various meanings. Happiness is a glad feeling that depends on something good happening to you. Something that good happens to you produces happiness. But joy is a fruit. Joy is a gift. That's a little different than receiving happiness versus joy. The gift from God of the fruit of the Spirit produces joy. And brethren, when we have joy, it's a wonderful experience. And it's intended. God intended to last us forever. And it will be in God's kingdom. Joy will be in God's kingdom. Happiness will be too. And it will be based on the events that take place, which will produce happiness. But in the end, joy is the highest reward that we will receive in that respect. So happiness is a glad feeling that depends on something happening to us. And that can be anything. People coming up to you and patting you on the back and saying you did a good job at work, or people encouraging you. These are all things that happen, and that produces joy. That does produce joy and happiness. But joy is unique. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. It's a wonderful gift. It's God's desire that we all have joy. And unconditional joy, which is even greater. Jesus Christ wants us to have it. Let's look at, while we're in the book of John 15, let's look at verse 11. It says here in John chapter 15, verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be made in you." So it's God, or Jesus Christ's joy, that remains in you. It's a gift that remains in you. "And that your joy might be full." And so it's not just a fleeting joy that comes and goes, and we no longer have it, but he wants it to be full. He wants us to be filled with joy. And he gives it to us. It's the gift that God in Jesus Christ gives us. So it's not something that we can work up and achieve ourselves. For without the Holy Spirit, we won't have that fruit. As I mentioned earlier, it's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And so it's a gift from God. And it's one of the fruits that we can produce through the Spirit. Let's look at chapter 16, verse 22. Here it says, "And you now therefore have sorrow." And we will have sorrow, brethren. As it said in Ecclesiastes, there will be a time for sorrow. "Last night I went to a viewing." Now I thought we'd go early and we'd be at the funeral, and we would see the people that we know personally, many of them we know on a name basis, and we would talk to the individual, and we'd be home in time for me to do my sermon. I left at 5:30. We got there at the funeral home, or actually it was a Mennonite church that we went to. Got there at 5:30. We did not leave till 7 o'clock. And then by the time I got home, it was closer to 8:30. So brethren, sorrow affects us in many, many ways. And to express joy to these individuals, because they're dealing with a very difficult situation. The father was killed in an accident, a farming accident, if you want to term it. He was hauling hay, and somewhere in the process he had an accident, and the tractor fell on top of him and killed him. Now that was very, very hard for the family. And it's a time of sorrow. But brethren, they don't fully understand the plan of God. And they will have the opportunity to see him again. And that each and every one of us, when we experience a lost individual, someone who dies, and I can think of Edwin and Gladys and Robert and many individuals we know personally, we will see them again. And that's the joy that we can hold on to, knowing that we will see our loved ones again. Many individuals don't have that comfort, that joy to know the plan of God. We have that knowledge. We have that joy. And that's what we hold on to, brethren. That's what we hold on to and look forward to. And that's what we utilize and encourage each other, that we will see our loved ones again. So sorrow is a short time that each and every one of us experience. But the important thing is we love God and God loves us. And he wants us to have joy. And we will have joy, brethren, when we are all united once again with our loved ones. And I want you to think of joy as a strong foundation. Okay? Something that we build upon. A strong foundation. Because, brethren, if we don't have joy in our lives, we will have bitterness, sorrow, depression, and anger. We got to rise above that. We have to search out and have the joy that God wants us to have. We can't be stuck in a state of condition that brings us down. We have to have a strong foundation, and that is joy, brethren. That is what we rely upon. That is what will get us through and into the kingdom of God. It's the joy that is bound by a strong foundation. It's supported by a variety of healthy emotions, which is happiness. We talked about happiness. Happiness is one of them included. Long range joy is a general attitude of gratitude. That's something we must have. We must have gratitude and contentment, optimism. We have to have a sense of freedom, and we have to have other positive attitudes. That's the joy that God gives us, each and one of these. The joy of gratitude. We must express that to God. And we have a wonderful opportunity in prayer. We can go to God when we're hurting and we're suffering and things are not going right. We can go in prayer to God and let Him know how much we appreciate Him, how much we care about Him, how much we love Him, and how much we need Him. He needs us in some ways because He's looking forward to the kingdom of God and the family being expanded for eternal life. He's looking forward to that with great joy. But we need God, and we need to cry out to Him when we are dealing with adversities, and we need to let Him know how much we truly appreciate, and we do have gratitude. And we need to be contented. Not everything's going to be perfect. I gave a sermon about life being unfair. Well, brethren, life isn't fair. There'll be times when life's not fair, but we need to learn contentment. Whatever we are in life, God will bless us in many, many ways. Optimism, we look forward to the kingdom of God. We know it's coming. We can have great joy in knowing that God's kingdom is coming. In our lifetime or in the next generation's lifetime, whenever. Each passing birthday that comes around, it reminds us God's kingdom is coming. And we're aged another year. Another year's gone by. But it's coming, brethren. And no matter how much the world makes mockery and laughs, they've been talking about the kingdom of God forever. Christ is coming. He's not. It says in the perilous times ahead, there are going to be mockeries. People are going to be making fun of the return of Jesus Christ. But we know, and we can be assured with the joyness in our hearts that the kingdom of God is coming. Whether it's in our generation or the next generation, it will be coming. And so we will have optimism and look forward with great joy in the kingdom of God. The freedoms that we have, brethren, are remarkable. We live in a country that has tremendous freedoms. Now, we understand our freedoms are slowly being diminished and taken away from us. And in the end times, those who try to live a righteous life will suffer trials and persecutions. But we still have a sense of freedom, even when we're imprisoned. And Paul was an example of that. He was put in prison, but did he woe, despair, worry, and think of all the negative situations? No, they sang in prison. They sang songs of joy and encouraged each other, even though it was hard. That was hard to be put in prison. It wasn't an easy life. I mean, it's still not. Anybody who experienced prison life, it's a hard life. And if the times ahead puts us in prison for our faith, what we stand up for truth, so be it. But let's do it joyfully, as Paul set the example, if we are ever put in prison. And we too have an opportunity of setting an example of having joy, even in adverse conditions, even imprisonment. And imprisonment can be anything. You know, we think of jail terms of being in a confined area, an imprisonment. But we can be imprisoned in debt. If we're in debt, we can be imprisoned to that. And the nice thing about that is we can cry out to God and ask for God for help too with our finances and get us out of debt. And God hears our prayers and He does help us. So whatever freedom, sense of freedom that we need, God is there for us. It's a wonderful freedom and all the other positive attitudes that we have. We must stay positive, brethren. If you're going to have joy, you're going to be positive. It's just a natural flowing attitude. If you're negative, you're not going to have joy. Now that's hard because sometimes we do deal with negative situations. But don't stay in a negative attitude. If you're dealing with a negative attitude, get to down on your knees if you need to and ask God for positive joy in your life. He'll hear you. He'll listen to you and he'll help you through any situation in life and make it joyful for each and every one of us. Now, one of the most common mistakes that people sometimes make is they think that you have to get something to be happy and have joy. You have to get something. So the get attitude comes in. If only you will give mentality. A lot of people are hung up on that. And they think that's the only true way to joy and happiness. I appreciated the sermonette today because that's something that I want to emphasize. True joy comes from serving and giving. And I thought the sermonette emphasized that very strongly, in serving and giving to one another. Each and every one of us have the opportunity of serving and giving to one another. Not getting. If you're seeking get, you're not going to be happy and you're not going to have joy. You're only going to be selfish. That's what you're going to be. You're only thinking of yourself. Self-centered attitude. But if you're truly serving and giving for others, you will find joy in that. Now that sounds like a contradiction. And also with trials and problems that we face, we're told to rejoice when we face trials. How can we rejoice if we're struggling with that? Well, that's what God says gives us the gift of joy, so that we can face our trials, our difficult times, our sadness, or whatever we may be dealing with, and come out on a positive attitude. So there's nothing in life, that we can't find joy in, even in times of trials and difficulties. We'll talk a little bit about that then. As I mentioned, let's look at Acts. Are we talking about giving and caring? The book of Acts. We'll look at chapter 20. And we'll look at verse 35. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it says, I have shown you all things, how that laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now why is it more blessed to give than to receive? Because you're pouring your caring, your serving attitude out to others, and you're not drawing inward and seeking for yourself, but rather you're reaching out. And with that, you'll receive joy. I remember one of the times we were at the Feast of Tabernacles, and we were at Lake of the Ozarks, my wife and I don't know, was our children with us at the time, do you remember? They were, okay. Yes, that's right, they were. They were younger. So they were with us. And we met a couple at the Feast of Tabernacles, and we didn't know anybody at Lake of the Ozarks other than my brother. And this couple didn't know anybody other than their family. And we were at the information table and we were looking at the menu and we were thinking we're going to go out to a restaurant and coming up with an idea, you know, where we might want to go out to eat. And we met a couple that were from Illinois, I believe they were Illinois. And it was pretty neat because we just struck up a conversation while we were talking there about restaurant. And we decided, hey, why don't we go together out to a restaurant and have a little time together, get to meet each other. They had younger children, which were about the same age of our children, and so at least one boy, I believe they had just one boy. They had one child. And so we went to the restaurant, we got the opportunity to meet them and share some joyful time. And you know, that relationship lasted a long, long time. It didn't just end at the Feast of Tabernacles when the feast was over, that was it. They said goodbye, we said goodbye, we never saw them again. We communicated for years and talked for years, and they came to the Feast of Tabernacles in the Poconos. We got together again. We had a nice time overall. And It's just pretty neat how joy in serving. And there it was just a situation where we didn't know where we were going to go out to eat. They didn't know where they were going to go out to eat. And we just talked about it. And between us, we were serving each other with joy and happiness of fellowshipping. So you never know how you may find ways of serving and enjoying company and finding people that just need somebody. Just time and fellowshipping is a tremendous joy, brethren, of serving and helping one another. And we had a wonderful opportunity for that. Now I'm going to give you a recipe. I find this very interesting. I read about this recipe in a Good News magazine, and I'm going to give you it. And I want you to apply this in your life. Okay? Here's the formula. I'm going to go slow so you can write it down. This is a biblical formula, by the way. So it's not just something I came up with or this gentleman came up with. This is a biblical formula. You ready? Add to your life gratitude. Add to your life gratitude. Add to your life humility. Add to your life humility. Add to your life forgiveness. Add to your life forgiveness. Add to your life faith. Add to your life faith. Add to your life hope. Add to your life patience. And add to your life love. Okay, that's the first part of the formula. Did everybody get that? Just need to go back over it again? Okay. Now, the second part of the formula. This is very important because the first part was adding. Now we're going to take away. Take away resentment. Take away resentment. Take away anger. Take away anger. Take away fear. Fear. Take away worry, which is hard to do sometimes. Take away worry. Take away materialism. Take away materialism. Take away greed. Greed. Take away jealousy. Jealousy. Take away. Complaining. Take away complaining. And take away pride. Now, what does this formula produce? What is the final result of adding and taking away? The answer, joy. Joy. It produces joy. I thought that was a unique formula. I think it's something that each and every one of us need to work on personally, because these attitudes that we have in our lives, that we need to add into our lives, are very, very important. They're very vital, important ingredients. As well as the things we need to take away in our lives, the things that we struggle with, the things that we need to put out, the things that take us away from God and from having true joy. So remember this formula. I think it's very important to remember this formula. And think about this formula. If you want to write it down and put it on your refrigerator, we do things like that. We find something we find unique, or pictures and different things we put on our refrigerator. Put this down and read it from day to day. When you're dealing with, well, let's look at some of the things we might be dealing. Resentment. What if we have some resentment in our lives? The things that we resented. Or perhaps we have anger in our lives from things didn't go the way we expected things to go. Maybe we have fear. We fear about things. Or maybe we worry about things. If we're going to take them out of our lives, we got to put something back in. So when we're putting back in, we want to add gratitude, appreciation, and letting God know how much we are truly appreciative. We need to have humility, brethren. Without humility, we have vanity, and vanity will lead us down the wrong path of life. We have to have willing of forgiveness. When things don't happen the way or people hurt us, we have to be willing to have forgiveness. So this formula is unique. It's something that will last us a lifetime. I hope you look at this formula and that you look at it on a regular basis from time to time. And if you have all the wonderful things that you've added, then you don't have to take out the terrible things in life. But if you have things that are terrible in your life, you got to take them out and add the wonderful things that lead to joy and happiness. God is tremendous joyful. I want to talk a little bit about some of the wonderful things that he has for us. Let's look at Romans 8. Romans 8, we'll look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we're being led by the Spirit that dwells within us, and we are classified as the sons of God. Well, let's drop down to verse 19. I talked about God being joyful and happy. He truly is joyful and happy because it says, for the earnest expectation of the creation, or the creature, awaits for the manifestation of the sons of God. And that's what God the Father and Jesus Christ are waiting for. They're waiting for us to become the sons of God, and we are changed into spirit beings, and we'll have eternal life. That's a tremendous joy to God the Father and Jesus Christ. True followers imitate God and Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ and God the Father have tremendous amount of joy looking forward to the kingdom of God and each and every one of us being in his kingdom, then we can be true followers and have true joy. Let's look at Psalms 68. Psalm 68. We'll look at verse 3. Psalm 68, verse 3 says, but let the righteous be glad, or another word would be joy. Let them rejoice, which is another word for joy, before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. So God wants us to have joy in our lives. It's one of his fruits of his Spirit. He wants us to develop it. He wants us to utilize it. And as we reach out in joy, we can sing to God at song services with great joy. When we sing the songs, I hope you find joy in the songs that we sing. The words are wonderful. And we give praise to God, and that's one way of showing joy to God and letting him know how much we truly appreciate him. And he truly appreciates us when we sing to him, give him praises. He's listening when we're singing to him and when we're talking to him in prayer and when we take the time to develop a relationship with him in Jesus Christ. That's all part of the joy that he is fulfilled with as well. So not only do we get the joy of knowing and expressing and emphasizing it to him, he gets it as well. God the Father, Jesus Christ, will also receive that. God desires that we serve him and be part of his kingdom. He finds great gladness. You can look at Deuteronomy 28 because of time. I'm just going to refer to Deuteronomy 28, verse 47, where he says, with joy and gladness of heart. That's where it comes from, brethren, inside the heart. True joy comes inside the heart. God says he looks at our hearts. He judges mankind by his heart. And if we have true joy, it's going to be in our heart. Paul talks about the joy of the Holy Spirit. You can read about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Again, because of time, I'm just going to refer to that. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6. It's through the Holy Spirit that we receive true joy. The joy of the Holy Spirit. And of course, I mentioned about joy is the second fruit in the listings of the fruits in Galatians 5:22. You can refer to that, Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. If we're filled with godly love, which is the first fruit of the Spirit, it's naturally going to produce joy. That's going to be a wonderful result for us. Being second on the list doesn't mean it's not important. Some people feel it's wrong to show joy. I've met people that think you have to be solemn and sober and straight face. You can't express joy. And yet Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time for everything. There is a time for joy, and there is a time for sorrow. Many people refer to Jesus Christ as a man of many sorrows, and that's a true statement. Christ did suffer greatly, and he was a man of many sorrows. Why was he a man of many sorrows? Because he saw mankind going away from the ways that are supposed to go. Ancient Israel was a disappointment. They were given the laws of God. They were given understanding of God's plan, and they walked away from it. Now, we, brethren, are given the opportunity as well, each and every one of us, of knowing the plan of God and the joy that we can receive from that. That joy is a wonderful experience for each and every one of us. Brethren, the kingdom of God will be one of the greatest experiences each and every one of us will ever experience. One of the greatest joy that any one of us will experience. It doesn't guarantee us that we'll be in the kingdom unless we truly have joy in our heart and we seek forward and looking with great hope for the kingdom of God to be established. Joy is a major subject in the Bible. Did you know in the King James Version, joy appears 158 times? I thought, okay, well, joy is a simple subject I'm going to talk about. No. Joy appears 158 times. And the word rejoice, is 198 times. Not counting all the variations of joyful, joyous, jubilant. These are other forms of joy. Happy and glad. Isn't that amazing? So joy is not a simple subject that, you know, we just kind of, he's got joy, great. It's very important. If it's emphasized that much in the Bible, 158 times, and rejoice is emphasized 198 times, it's very important to God. It's very important to God, and it should be very important to us, brethren, how important joy really, truly is. It's not just something simple. Rejoice is a form, or it's classified as a verb form of joy. It means to feel and have joy, is what rejoice means. Clearly, because of the great emphasis in the Bible, God expects us to have joy and to rejoice. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful gift that God gives us. And one of the greatest joys will be the kingdom of God, when each and every one of us will have the opportunity to personally get to know and see God face to face. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? Tremendous joy to be able to see God face to face. Right now we can't do that. We die if we saw God face to face. It says, no man can see God. But when we're spirit beings and we have the opportunity to be in God's kingdom, we can actually talk face to face with God and Jesus Christ. The apostles, all the individuals that lived long before us, when they'll be resurrected. And that's another joy, the resurrection. I mentioned about the lost loved ones that we care about. We do miss them. We understand that. They're a great joy to us when we had the opportunity of knowing them. But brethren, we're going to see them again. In the kingdom of God, we will see our loved ones. And that'll be a tremendous joy with the resurrection of each and every one of the individuals we've had the opportunity of knowing personally. So the kingdom of God, the plan of God, and all the wonderful joy, it's not an option. Either we're going to have joy or we're not. And God says, have joy. So it's not an option. No, we can choose it to be an option. We can say, well, I don't want joy. And have a sad face and complain and grumble and growl and be miserable. But that's not what God wants. God does not want us to be in that state of condition. He wants us to have true joy. And he gives it to us as a gift. So it's very, very important, tremendously important, that we do develop joy. And we do expand that in our lives and make it a joy for others. I was thinking about that after I left the viewing last night. Thought about wonderful things. Joy is what? Fill in the blank. Joy is blank. And you fill in the blank. What is joy to you? I can tell you what joy is to me. There's a lot of things that I find joyous. And there's simple things that people will ask, yeah, what's joy in that? I find joy in little things. Hummingbirds that come to a hummingbird feeder. I find joy in that. I find it's a blessing that God brings this tiny little bird. Sometimes it's maybe 3-4 inches. Maybe some of the bigger ones, 5 inches. And they're fluttering around. And it's interesting. They'll actually come to your face. And they'll kind of like stare at you. And you'll be talking maybe to them. And they'll kind of flutter around. And they'll go behind you. And sometimes they'll actually attack you if you're at their feeder. Don't go to their feeder. Let them come to you. Just give you a warning, because I went to the feeder and I got attacked by one. But I find joy in simple thing like a bird, hummingbird. And one of the things I enjoy is bird singing. We have a store in Mount Pleasant Mills. I think most of you know about that. And we have bird feeders there. And birds come and I hear the birds singing and chirping and I find joy in that. Animals. All kinds of animals come to our, I'm not sure why, but we have a variety of animals that come to our, including skunks. But good animals and some smelly animals. Some other things I enjoy, and I'm just giving you what some of the things I enjoy, and then you can think about what is joy to you and put that into your life. Flowers is one of the great joy that I find. Beautiful flowers that God creates for us. The creation that God gives us is a great joy to me, seeing flowers fully bloom. And the colors are just fantastic, aren't they? When you see this time of the year, from spring to fall, we have a wide variety of beautiful flowers that bloom. One thing, I lived along a creek when we lived in our first home. My wife and I got married and we lived in a creek. And this babbling little brook that went by, that flooded, it made a mess. But when it babbled or bubbled past, we would sit on our lawn chairs and listen to the bubbling water going past. And I found joy in that. It was very pleasant. I really enjoyed it tremendously. The sunshine. When I get up in the morning, I get up before most of you people to get up. 4 o'clock is my wake-up time for work. I get around and I leave at 4:45, get on the highway, and the sun's not even coming up. It's dark. I'm driving my van, taking people to work and doing my extra service that I have a wonderful opportunity of serving and with joy. And I get to see the sunrise. It's a wonderful experience to see the sun coming up and the beautiful, there's some beautiful sunrises. If you ever want to get up early in the morning and just go out, look at creation and take time to enjoy a sunrise. It's a fantastic experience. Now, if you're up later, maybe you want to see the sunset. That's just as beautiful sometimes as a sunrise. But there's tremendous joy in just the thing. And one of the greatest joys that I'm looking forward to is the kingdom of God. That's tremendous joy for me. These are just some of the joys that I find in life. Brethren, serving each other, caring about, loving one another, and looking forward to the kingdom of God is what true joy is going to be all about. God gives us the gift of joy. It's a fantastic gift. Don't let it go by the wayside. If you have any harbor of bitterness or hurt feelings or resentment or anger, any emotion that's negative, go to God and ask Him for joy, and He'll give it to you. He'll answer your prayers. He'll reach out to you and give it to you in fullness. You know, sometimes we ask for things and we don't realize the fullness of what He gives us. But joy is a fantastic gift. And it's a gift from God. The supreme joy God gives us in nature is one of the greatest blessings we can enjoy as well. But it's a godly character. God has joy, and we can all have joy. God is exceedingly joyful. His servants should be exceedingly joyful. Each and every one of us should be exceedingly joyful. And for those who suffer, it's only a prayer away from receiving joy. If you are suffering heartache, I mentioned about death. It's probably one of the saddest times in our lives when we experience death. But you know, there's coming a time in Revelation when death will be no more. when crying and sorrow will no longer exist, but joy will be the fullness of life. When the kingdom of God is established and the millennium period of time, it'll be a joyful time, not a time of sadness, not a time of sorrow and pain, but that will all be done away. What a wonderful, wonderful plan that our Creator, our loving God, has done and designed for each and every one of us, to give us the understanding of what He's doing for mankind, the wonderful gift of joy, the kingdom of God, and its wonderful fruits that it will produce. We have the time now on this physical earth. As long as we're physical, we can develop the fruits of the Spirit, each and every one of us. And I hope you reach out with joy towards one another and develop that fruit, brethren. It's a gift from God.